every senior leader in America is going to one day be gone.
Yep.
And our goal isn't this, is, man, how can these young leaders serve us really well and one day grow up and be our number two?
Whoa.
Jesus was like, you're going to do greater things than Jesus. So if Jesus could say that to his disciples, then don't you think we have to do ministry in a way where we're looking at younger generation and saying, listen, we think that we're going to invest in you and you guys are going to do twice. Because you look at the mission's bigger, the darkness is more. Mm. We need them to do twice.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't need them to take over our ministries.
Right.
We actually need, we need them, we need to hand ministry over to them. And that's what Jesus did.
Welcome to the Touring for Purpose podcast. My name is Mingo. I'm your host, as always. And, you know, our whole goal with the podcast has always been to start a dialogue and facilitate a dialogue that helps solve the tension points between seasoned leaders and emerging leaders. And for whatever reason, that massive gap in the middle that seems to keep us going as far as we should be going as the local one body church. And so we always try to grab people and influencers and pastors and emerging leaders and planting pastors and ask the questions for whatever reason that are hard to ask in the executive room. And hopefully while people are listening to this podcast in their ears on the way to work or at the gym or at their desk when they're supposed to be doing work, but they're not doing work. My goal is that this conversation would compel people to ask questions inside their own camp. And I love it. We're at Thrive. We're actually parked outside. Sacramento is surprisingly not 212 degrees. So we're actually outside. It feels good. Ray Johnson has obviously set an incredible example in how he leads his church. And really, we heard the word flatten the organization. And what that does is it creates this amazing ecosystem of collaboration and forward motion that's not hinging on one person. So today, we've got a couple of really great guys on the podcast, teammates in this thing. And actually, I didn't even catch whether or not you were on staff or not. What, is this true, Brian?
Yep, on staff as a youth lead.
Youth lead. And then Wes, you are the senior pastor of New Life Church. And you said that's the only one. Incredible. I literally love it. That's like so good. Okay, so tell me this. Where's your church located, just for our viewers so they know a little bit of context about the church and sure. when you planted it?
Sure.
To give me some backstory.
Church was planted in 2000. In Bremerton, Silverdale area, so there's three military bases. So if you're living in the United States, enjoying freedom, you're welcome.
Thank you. I thank you. I salute you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. San Diego's helping.
Yeah, too. Dude, come on. We've got our fair
We're not
amount.
Doing it alone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I was a youth pastor. I was asked to start a church and with seven friends and in our families, and we started the church.
You said you were asked to start a church? Like yeah. Your friends were like, bro.
Yeah.
It's time, Wes.
No. I was a youth pastor enjoying it, and my senior pastor, they'd had a consultant come out, and they were like, you guys are doing great, but if a new church started, they'd be bigger than you in 5 years.
Hmm.
And that leadership team had the foresight to say, well, let's just launch that church then.
Whoa. That doesn't happen very often,
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
That's a huge trust move with an executive team to say, let's propel them forward and not wait.
Yeah, so we started off as a church within a church, kind of like as a ministry. Did that for 4 years. Kind of, you know, at some point you're like 25, full-time job. You know, they're like, hey, maybe you should move out and pay your own bills.
Mm. So, we've all been there, guys. We've all been there. Maybe not Brian, but we've all been there. So
So we did. We moved 14 miles and launched. And I think, were you a part of the first season?
Yeah, I was 11 when the church launched. So it was like, I remember my parents said, like, hey, we're going to go check this thing out. And we showed up. And then I was going into sixth grade. And then we spent 4 years.
Yeah.
And then we launched into high school. And that was really the first time we took off. And I was 16. And I remember I invited three friends, like guys I still pray for today.
Yeah.
Like, and I invited three of them, and they came, and there was this just moment. I remember I had taken a t-shirt, and I spray painted on it, and I was like, New Life.
How progressive.
Well, yeah, and it also smelled horrible.
So, and like, when you hug people, you ruin their clothes. Like, they're like, hey, bro, hey.
I'm about to be at church in like an hour. I was like, this is going to be great.
I'm going to be so cool. Like, I'm going to be so cool.
Were you wearing the shirt?
Wore it into the gathering. Like, I was wearing the shirt. But here's what I remember is that, like, there was this ownership of, like, this is mine.
That's legit.
I feel like the street team.
That's super legit. Yeah. So with that, did you see that? Are you aware of this at this point?
Probably my bit. Well, I don't remember the T-shirt, but I'm super interested in seeing it. I do remember. I have a memory. I can't even remember where it was from, but we were in a van. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to keep telling the story. Hang on.
Please do continue.
I keep telling the story. No, like we went on some kind of like an outing, like a bunch of us. And we went to go see a church, and for some reason, I think your folks were sitting in like second seat, a bunch of us there, and like I was driving, mm-hmm. and I think you were sitting passenger.
Yeah.
And we just went out, and I just remember looking over, and I was like, wow, this is Brian.
Yeah.
And we were just talking, and so it's super weird to just go from that moment to here, and that you lead all our student ministries. That's really cool.
Yeah, I remember that day. It was summer, and I like I loved to skate in like middle school, like skateboarding in middle school.
You're in good company. You're in good company.
My parents said like, oh, we're gonna go to this church thing, and so I was skating in the church parking lot, and I fell and I ripped up like my hands and my elbow. You know, you get the road rash.
Yeah, totally.
And I just remember sitting there looking like the idiot kid. I just got like blood all
bleeding
over me,
all over. They're like, who's this kid over here bleeding out right here? What do you do when you you look around and, you know, youth seems to be like the gateway drug for great leaders. It's a place where obviously that was your origins, right? And you probably did a few things leading up to that. But youth was your really first official position where it was your job to shepherd and lead and manage a budget and have to deal with layers of leadership. How did you posture yourself as the senior pastor, having origins of a youth pastor, knowing that you are now going to create a pathway for the next generation?
Okay, so probably one of the hardest things transitioning from like being a youth pastor overseeing, because we had staff, we had interns, mm-hmm. we had a budget. I mean, it was a few years before our church budget was as big as our youth budget. And so,
wow.
One of the hardest things was trying to like be someone else. And so, like, the first thing I was going to go be super serious, teaching pastor, you know, really kind of be that person. And early on, I had a good elder in our church come up to me, and they said, Wes, you're really kind of a poor, you're kind of like a poor imitation of other people. And he said, just be yourself. Just be the way you are all the time. We all know you. And that freed me up. And so one of the things I've tried to do with our young leaders is not try to have them be the senior
something else.
Leader.
Yeah.
They're not, I don't know the music he listens to. I don't understand the shirts he wears.
But you know he spray paints them.
And we're not asking them to one day grow up and be a leader that wears the khakis that we wear or the suit or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
That's really good. That sounds super trivial that you would be told to be yourself. But
it's pressure. It's pressure.
It is. You felt it. And I hear it constantly from conversations around the country that there's such a dynamic change when you go from being a guy in the ministry to the guy in the ministry, where all of a sudden that weight is on your shoulders.
I mean, think about like what hits me is this is think about if you're one of the 12 disciples, Jesus did like seriously young adult ministry.
This is good. I like where it's going already.
Okay, so like look at like who he was with. They're all like 18 to 29. Mm-hmm. Most of them actually more like 16 to 20. Peter's the only one who had to pay tax. I mean, Jesus told him, go pay your taxes, catch a fish, me and you. Everybody else didn't have to do it. Like,
that's
why?
Good. That's
so
really good.
They probably weren't even 20.
Did you ever even think of that, dude?
Nope. So, okay, Peter's the only one that's married.
Pastor me, bro. Pastor me right now, dude. Teach me. You're preaching me right now, dude.
So they're all young adults, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why else could they just leave everything?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have bills. Okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And so they go with Jesus. And so along the way, he's apprenticing them. One of the things he does that's so cool is and we talk about this all the time, John 14:12. He says, my disciples will do the same things I'm doing. And
even more.
Greater,
yeah.
Greater works.
Yeah, yeah. And even more.
And I'm going to go be with the Father. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
The truth, every senior leader in America is going to one day be gone.
Yep.
And our goal isn't this, is man, how can these young leaders serve us really well and one day grow up and be our number two?
Whoa.
Jesus was like, you're going to do greater things than Jesus. So if Jesus could say that to his disciples, then don't you think we have to do ministry in a way where we're looking at younger generation and saying, listen, we think that we're going to invest in you and you guys are going to do twice. Because you look at the mission's bigger. The darkness is more. Mm. We need them to do twice.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't need them to take over our ministries.
Right.
We actually need, we need them, we need to hand ministry over to them. And that's what Jesus did. So.
Dang! What? Man, okay, so how long have you been pastoring the church currently?
17 years.
What? This is seven. It sounds like a church plant with how fiery it is.
Well, we feel like we are still. I mean, I feel like in 17 years we just built a launch pad.
Dude, 17 years is a monster run right now. In the life of most churches started. Yeah. You said 2000. That's when you began. So I should have known the math there. Thank you. But 17 years is.
Well, we're really slow.
I mean, slow how? I just think you're doing that posture does not come from a guy who's only been at the wheel 17 years.
Well, we have, I think, a ton of amazing young leaders. Brian's one of them. And, I mean, the way he thinks and leads, I can't even think. Like, in my mind, I try to think outside the box. He doesn't know there's a box.
Yes.
So, like, yes. So I'm not even coaching on any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. I just know this. I feel like it is people like Ray Johnston and others. This is what I watch them do. It's what I want to do. I want to take a season and just apprentice as well and as I can, young leaders, and then spend the last two decades of my life raising money to fund their dreams.
We always hear about this idea of passing the baton. And you know what that means? That means that somebody has it and somebody's waiting for it. And I think that's actually a terrible analogy. Like when because I've probably spent a good chunk of like my ministry life, I was a pastor for 10 years at a local church in San Diego, waiting for a proverbial baton to be handed to me, a mythical unicorn. And then I felt like the Lord, I don't know if it was in a dream or whatever, but this picture shows up in my mind. He's like, you know what? If you spend the rest of your time waiting, you may lose the best season of what I've built you for. And so here's like, just pick up a stick and like, it's good enough.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's good enough. Go make one. And while you're in the process, make about 11 more and hand them to the rest of the guys that are waiting. So what I'm really hoping for is I'm hoping to re-engage with senior pastors in a way that says, like, how do we erase the myth of the baton going? So you had a call that said, it's time to go launch. And that was like, whoa, let's go. But I think that we need to kind of clear the air on this like whole baton pass. What do we do to articulate to the generation at hand? This is not the future of the church. I think that we need to stop talking about the next generation of the church, and we need to start talking to the next generation of the church, right? And what do we do to erase the false expectation? It could be the enemy's greatest fallacy.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Right?
Yeah. I think, well, okay, so let's take back the track analogy, right? And so you like, the problem with the analogy is there's one thing. It's a baton.
Yes.
You could do like a football game or basketball game. It's still one thing.
Yes.
Let's go now to, let's take skateboarding.
Yes.
You don't have one thing.
Yes.
To be able to participate, you can all participate at once.
Come on, dude.
There's like we're going to all do. And so I think the thing that I felt as a young leader was there wasn't like a one baton. There was like a skate park and we were all going to participate.
Thank you, dude. Thank you. Fire, bro. Yes. It's like surfing. There's a whole ocean.
That's good.
I surf. And when there's no surf, we skate. So. Totally. Like, you have the whole ocean.
Yes.
You don't need the one break, the one peak. Like, there's enough for everybody.
So let's take the ocean, and there's a way. There's always a next wave.
Yes,
so
yes.
So, like, the energy of the ocean, it's consistent. So when I, as a youth pastor, I'm, like, looking out, and I'm like, there's waves coming. Like, we've got this momentum, and you can feel it. He can sit on his board and be like, I'll skip a wave. Like, I'll get in later. There's still that energy.
Yeah, dude, that's so good. You know what's funny is Rick wrote that same analogy, like, 30 years ago when he wrote Purpose Driven Church. He was like, we get too caught up in trying to make ministry waves. We can't make ministry waves. Like, it's our job to know how to read them and to be proficient enough and ready to ride them when they come, right? And I think for his generation, the problem was trying to manufacture ministry. I think for our generation, it's trying to figure out when it's our turn. And like, I love that you just blew that idea out of the water. Like, it's not a one thing culture. It's not a one thing economy. The whole skate park is waiting for you to discover how you play your part in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on, senior pastor, get at me.
Well, okay, I don't surf or skate.
Perfect. So my khaki pants tell me in the world of...
I play basketball.
Okay, okay, here we go. Oh, we got another basketball player right here. Yeah.
There's just one of them, so... But one of the things I do now, so the thing I've been thinking about is this, is like, so for Thanksgiving, you guys go somewhere for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
To the kitchen.
Family stuff?
Yeah.
Yes.
So growing up, I'd go over to these people's houses. I thought I was related to them because, you know, we'd call them like Grandma Luder and Grandma, you know, all this different stuff.
Grandma Luder?
Yeah. I thought we were related. My grandpa's from Sweden. He actually came over. He was born, a bastard child in a small village in
I don't know
Sweden.
If you can say bastard on the podcast, so if it beeps out, that's
why. I was using it in context, okay. And it's in scripture. But I'll show you the verse. And so he actually came to America as a young adult.
Okay.
And the only family he knew was a family that, you know, he had from his village had moved over. And so we would go over there. I thought we were related for the longest time. I was like maybe 15 bar found out we're not related. It was just
devastating,
like,
dude.
Just there. But what's interesting is they had like the table where all the adults sat, and then in a totally different room they had the kids' table. And so for Thanksgiving, as a kid, you grow up, you're at the kids' table.
You're at the kids' table.
But
yes,
we were the youngest cousins of everybody on that side. And so everybody's older. Well, here's the thing. I was 40 years old. I was still sitting at the kids' table.
No.
Like, my knees still don't fit, you know? And you're always looking over at the other room, like, I wonder when you're going to get invited.
Like,
Yeah. And I just think that when somebody's upset, they're saying there's not enough millennials in our church, it's because they're tired of sitting at the kids' table. Mm. I think when I ask our young adults, like, what's something that we do that you go, like, good? Because we don't do everything good. So what do you think's good? And one of the young adults said to me this, is, thank you for letting us into meetings that we have no business being in.
That's so good. Yes. That's so good. Keep talking. Preach, preacher.
So I think, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't talk to them and go like, hey, listen, like with one of our young adults, I just said this. You get to say three things, okay? And, you know, because I take them into a meeting, they got like 100 ideas. And then
Right. You've got to kind of throttle it a little bit.
You just ruined the meeting. And so I tell them, you can say three things. You can say them all in the beginning. You say them all in the end.
I love that.
Spread them out.
One, a two, a three. Up. Okay, I'm done.
Found like that. I think people appreciate if they know someone and they know they're loved and they trust them. They say, tell me the truth.
I love that.
So
that was good. And that's the second person in the same day that's talked about trust being a core essential, a necessity between generations if there's going to be progress, forward motion together. How do we capitalize, how do we maximize the opportunity that we're in where the millennial generation is becoming quickly the biggest generation as we see a massive amount of boomers retiring out, right? And that's, who knows what that translates to even in senior pastors as far as their retirement. They may be holding on longer, I don't know. But what do you do, what do you tell the other senior pastor that's navigating the issue?
Reading the Gospels through the lens of Jesus doing young adults.
Right? Okay.
I agree. I think another thing to think about is this is the thing in terms of is I think there's maybe even a fear like in both ways. One of the great fears I think as a person that's leading ministry and as you're getting older is am I going to get old in a point where all of a sudden there's not like a crowd to preach to and will someone come and visit me? And so there's that sense of like, am I needed anymore? When you build relationship, that relationship goes beyond a job.
It goes so much farther, right?
And so I think the strongest relationships aren't those that are done because they have to, but out of trust and love because they want to.
Our generation has to get rid of the insecurity.
That's good.
Especially just like as millennials in a church, like it's the Jesus is the vine, not the church, not the pastor, not your ministry. Like you're just like Jesus is the vine. And it's a long obedience in the same direction.
Mm.
Like if we want to stop people saying we're flaky, it's not getting out of the media. It's we're going to stop being flaky.
Yeah, that's good. Man, that's just straight to the point, bro.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you cut throat is what you are, bro. All these millennials listening right now, they're just burning coals right now. what can be one thing if you were going to say something to the senior leaders, because we got a lot of senior leaders that listen to our podcast. What would you tell one thing to a senior leader, executive leader on behalf of a generation that they are probably wondering, how come I don't understand them? How do I get more of them? Blah, blah, blah.
I guess just from my context first, just like a lot of us are saying thank you. Like, we don't give enough credit to those of just, like, young adult millennials who are just like, you know what? Thank you. Like, you gave us a shot. You put us out there. Like, you gave me an opportunity. Like, first, you just need to hear thank you instead That's of good. Beating yourself up. The next thing I would just say is don't start – I hate the term millennials.
Right.
Start with a name.
Dude,
is there just somebody
at your individualization, and that's massive.
Somebody at your church who's a real person, who's not a part of a gen. It's just like a name of a story of a person that you can be like, you know, come with me.
Yeah.
The thing that Wes does, this is just brilliant, and this is something that I've learned, is he goes to get groceries. He's like, hey, hop in the car with me. Let's just get some time together.
Mm.
That's not like, I mean, it's not like intentional discipleship. It's just life together.
I get lost too sometimes. So that's true.
You didn't have a car for a while too. So it's kind of like, let me hop in your car. Let's go get groceries.
Well, and you had a skateboard. So.
Yeah. Okay, Wes, now I'm going to aim the same question at you as we close down the conversation. What do you say to a bunch of Brians that are like on the bench waiting to get called onto the court?
Well, I usually what I'm saying to Brian is go.
Yeah, that's good.
You're doing awesome. I'm trying to think of people that I see on the sidelines. I just maybe the question that Bob Goff asked last night was probably is so good. I was thinking about Jesus asked the blind man, "What do you want?" And probably the question, like seriously, like what do you want?
That's good.
And I was sitting with a young leader today, and they sat there, and they sat for a while, and then they were like, you know, they kind of hit them like, I don't really know, like, what I want. And then they said, no, I think, and then they said this, I want to know what my one thing is. Like, what's the one thing I do that would be my full kingdom impact? And I was like, that's a great thing to want, to want to know that. And so probably just saying to the young adults out there, just like, what do you, like, if Jesus came up to you and was going to open your eyes to something, he'd probably say to you, what do you want?
To the people that are listening, I hope this really does compel you to open a dialogue between your senior leader. And if you're a senior leader that's listening to this conversation, I hope this compels you to wander into the space of the generation that you're trying to find. Not call them by a generation, but call them by a name. And if you don't know their name, get brave and ask them. You just need to go, hey, there's something that needs to happen here between my generation and your generation, and the faster we figure that out, the faster we get onto the ministry that God called us to. That's what I think. So to all of our listeners, we love you. We hope that this challenges you. And to the crew, we love you guys. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Wes, for sharing your time. We love you. We'll talk to you guys soon.